But the compliance is dependent upon fear. 14. The human species is born fallen and totally depraved. Now that flies in the face of current theology. Current theology, hitched to Darwinism, says that man is evolving to a better, more organized, more intelligent status. And thus man is getting better and better and better with each passing generation. Theology, of course, hoots at that. It's very clear that we're born spiritually dead, although physically alive. And thus we are born fallen and totally depraved. There's a sinful nature in every cell of our body. 15. A person comes into this world completely dependent upon others for survival, and this demands order and authority. If you're completely dependent upon others for your survival, then you must be in an environment of order, and that order must be maintained by authority. Now that is the survival of a child, and you can easily see that. If there's complete disorder in the environment in which that child is born, and if there is no meaningful authority structure, then that child can receive no training, and he can understand little, if anything, about submission to authority and the maintenance of order. And thus his old sin nature will be free to carry on unabated. 16. The sinful nature is functional at physical birth, and if left uncontrolled and unrestrained, the person will develop into a totally self-serving individual with no consideration for any authority other than himself. The sinful nature is functional at physical birth, and if left uncontrolled and unrestrained, the person will develop into a totally self-serving individual with no consideration for any authority other than himself. Now, I believe that because so many children are born today in a disordered, low-authority environment, that we are raising criminals who reach adulthood with no orientation to any rules or regulations. And because they are self-serving totally, there is no reason to be concerned about other people. And so there's a huge insensitivity toward others. So often you read articles about even a young person, a teenager, and now you're even hearing stories of those who are sub-teens are actually killing their classmates and playmates, and they have no remorse for it. It's something they wanted to do. There's a total lack of sensitivity toward others there and an understanding of life itself. A person has to be totally self-serving to be motivated to do something in this way. Thus, point 17, God assigns parents who are under obligation to train and teach the child in the areas of authority orientation, humility, morality, and citizenship. And that's the parent's job, as per the Bible. It's not the government's. In fact, we're going to see in our study that the government and the home are separated. If there is a wall of separation in this country, it is between home and government. And especially when it comes to children, the government should never have one syllable to suggest to any parent about how they raise their child, unless that parent is violating the law, like putting them up for prostitution or physically mauling them on a daily basis, or involved in incest or child abuse. These are the kinds of things we're seeing more of today. And this is the way in which government is obliged to intervene. But by the way, that is local law enforcement. So God assigns parents who are under obligation to train and teach the child in the areas of authority orientation, humility, morality, and citizenship. And so you say to me, what about those people who were born into a single family tenement? And the person they're born to is a child themselves, and they don't even qualify for this. What do we do about those people? It is a local problem. It is not federal. It's local. And I've already told you what I thought ought to be done, but I don't think you'd agree with that. And it was just a suggestion. I mean, I was not so naive as to think anybody would take me up on that, but that's the solution. And when a nation has inverted itself and the family has been destroyed and there is no real traditional family left in certain areas of our society, then what you have is a criminal manufacturing machine. And you have to put an end to it if the nation is to survive. Now, I don't expect an end to be put to it. Don't misunderstand me. But draconian measures ultimately will be taken. Maybe not in our generation, but they will be taken eventually. Now, you may not approve of it. I think it's sort of wild and woolly too. But that is what is going to occur in order to stop this madness. Now, what is the best solution to all of this? To get the government out of the home. They can't do this. They've proved it. So you have to get the government out. I read an article the other day that when I started reading it, it was simply by curiosity. I thought, why is this man writing this? I subscribed to the Washington Star National Weekly Edition. And in the back, they have all of these columns by these columnists. And I read the headlines to see what's interesting. And this one headline, excuse me, I know it's Sunday morning, but I forge forward bravely with fear and trepidation. The title of the thing had to do with single women being permitted to get a sperm implant. And I thought, what is this? So I read it. And what I found out in reading is that laws have been passed which will enable single women to circumvent marriage, circumvent a husband, circumvent the home, and just go down to some sperm bank, get this kind of implantation deal, ask Weldon, get an implantation deal. They get pregnant, they have the child, and they raise the child. And we have legalized the abolishment of the home and the family. The male is no longer needed. We've taken feminism to the point to where the man is a superfluous citizen. And you think you can raise a child without a father in the home? Well, wait until we get into the meat and the nuts and the bolts of our study. It won't happen. It don't happen often when there is. And so, a person comes into this world completely dependent upon others for survival, and that demands order and authority. The sinful nature is functional at physical birth, and if left uncontrolled and unrestrained, the person will develop into a totally self-serving individual with no consideration for any authority other than himself. Thus, God assigns parents who are under obligation to train and teach the child in the areas of authority orientation, humility, morality, and citizenship. 18. If this does not occur, or if the child rejects this instruction, then he contributes to the disorder, the decline, and the contortion of his culture's zeitgeist. If the training doesn't occur, or if the child rejects it, then that child contributes to the disorder, the decline, and the contortion of his culture's zeitgeist. 19. In an effort to secure the maintenance of law and society, human government passes laws which restrict the function of its citizens' sinful natures. That's all they're for. If it were not for the sinful nature, there would be no need for law. How many laws were there in Eden? There was one. You may freely eat from all the trees of the garden, but you may not freely eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You stay away from it. And that was the law of the land. Please note that God only holds you responsible for that which you know. Now you may be sinful and all of that, and it may condemn you and all that, but accountability, I guess, is the better word. You're not accountable for what you don't know. Now, there may have been other things God didn't want Adam and Eve to do in the garden, but He didn't mention them. And they were not accountable for what they didn't know. But they were accountable for the mandate to leave that tree of knowledge of good and evil alone. They were accountable for that. And when they violated that law, they were held accountable. And so when you train children, if they go out and tip over the bric-a-brac in the living room, and you haven't trained them not to tip it over, then they're not accountable. Who is? You are. Therefore, once the first bric-a-brac finds itself in a skillion pieces, that's when the training begins. Look at this. We have broken the vase. And we mustn't do this anymore. And so the training starts. Vases are to be left alone. Little birds and little animals will be left alone. You may look at them, but you can't touch them. And you start this process. And then just as soon as you get it, you attach the penalty clause. Now, if we touch them and if we break them, I'm going to have to break your knees. Then, so then what you do is you walk off with full confidence. The fear tactic is going to work. But then you come back and then, well, lo and behold, an egret has found its way to the floor. And then you have to say, look what you've done. Now, didn't I just tell you to leave the bric-a-brac alone? And then you go out and get you a rod. And we get into the rod a little later on. Oh, it's getting tough, isn't it? Well, this is mostly for prep school people, although not necessarily. So we move on. If the child rejects instruction, he contributes to the disorder, the decline, and the contortion of the culture's zeitgeist. In other words, rather than breaking vases, now he's breaking into bank vault doors. In an effort to secure the maintenance of order in society, human government passes laws which restrict the function of its citizens' sinful natures. 20. In order to guard against noncompliance, laws are drawn with penalty and punishment clauses. And if you're raised with the belief that you do not have to pay a price for violating laws, rules of the household or what have you, when you move into society, you don't really believe that the policeman's going to do what they say he's going to do, that he's actually going to arrest you and that the judge is going to try you and the jury is going to find you guilty and you're really going to go to prison. And when you do, you wind up on a chain gang in Alabama saying, I think this demeans my humanity. Well, see, humanity's been demeaned when you first violated the law. And you've really, a criminal should lose all constitutional rights. All constitutional rights. Society should deal with him in accordance to the crime he has committed and force him to make restitution and to pay a penalty if necessary. And once done, then it's done. And he moves back into society. 21. The hope is that everyone will obey the law, but that would be an unrealistic expectation. Parents should write down, you hope your children obey your commands, but that would be an unrealistic expectation. 22. Everyone's sinful nature is active, and there must be a way to deter its unfettered function within a society. Everyone's sinful nature is active, and there must be a way to deter its unfettered function in society. 23. The punishment and penalty clauses are thus designed as the source of that deterrence. When violations are detected and prosecuted, the penalty and punishment clauses must be administered to the guilty. When violations are detected, then an investigation ensues, and you have a suspect whom you prosecute. Once convicted, the penalty and punishment clauses must be administered. 25. In a just society, every citizen must fall equally under the law. And for those who disobey it, the administration of the penalty and punishment clauses must also be performed equally. Many of you speed to church. Many of you have been caught at it. You know that it's going to cost you money when the next re-update comes for your insurance. And so you go down, you sit down at night, you know, with your ticket in your hand, and you get your two fingers of scotch, and you sit there and you worry about all of this. And you're going to watch the evening news. And you're looking at this, and you're drinking, and you're watching. And you're trying to decide, well, what am I going to do here? It's going to go up another $500. And up pops on the screen these attorneys. And they say, there is no need for you to have to take this abuse. Bring your ticket on down to me and I'll take care of it for you. So you think, Alice, that's what I'm going to do. So down you go tomorrow, you take your ticket and say, look what I got. And they say, don't worry about it. Just lay the money on the table. Right here, I'll take care of it. The point is you have to pay the money. They reduce the fine. You pay double because you have to pay the lawyer, but the computer in Jeff City never hears about it. No points, therefore insurance doesn't go up. Now, it turns out now, I hear, the policemen are upset about this. So what the policemen will do, I hear, is that when you're caught speeding, they're liable to charge you with reckless driving. And reckless driving, I'm not making this up. Reckless driving. So that when you take your little ticket down to the boy you saw on TV, he will fix it for you by lowering it to a lower level, which is speeding. But at least you don't have reckless driving on your record. It's just speeding. Lord knows what they would do with the insurance company if they saw reckless driving. They'd probably come get your bank or whatever. So you have this erosion in society that goes on, and that's just one example. Now, what happens when you get up to felonies and plea bargaining comes in? We have plea bargained ourselves to the point to where criminals walk the streets and never have to pay a reasonable penalty clause. You can murder somebody, unless you're Jim Baker, murder somebody and be out in a couple of years. Jim Baker took the money of people who gave it to him willingly, and they gave him 47. Now, I'm not a Jim Baker fan, but I thought that was application of the law in an unfair manner. I mean, people are dumb enough. If I buy a TV show, first of all, I've got to pay for the time. And if I put up the money to buy the time, and I say, now, y'all send me some money, and God will love you for it. And if they send me the money, then what's wrong with me spending it? I don't know. I just really don't know. So y'all send me money. In a just society, every citizen must fall equally under the law, and for those who disobey it, the administration of the penalty and punishment clauses must also be performed equally. 26. There can never be the assumption that there will be no crime or that crime can be successfully prevented. That's the trend today. Government's going to prevent crime. How do you prevent crime? You have to assume somebody's thinking about breaking the law and arrest them for it. We know what you're thinking. You're going to break the law, aren't you? You have a right to remain silent, etc. There can never be the assumption that there will be no crime, or that crime can be successfully prevented, or that the people are basically good and thus punishment is degrading. And further, point 27, there can never be the assumption that those over whom you have authority all function under genuine humility and establishment integrity. Therefore, they do not need penalty or punishment clauses. There can never be the assumption that those over whom you have authority all function under genuine humility and establishment integrity, and therefore do not need penalty or punishment clauses. Make that mistake, you will pay, and so will they. And their payment is the worst of all. Paragraph 6 of our study, From Chaos to Control. And that will be the subject of our study beginning on Tuesday evening. Father, we are grateful to you for the privilege of noting these things today. It is our prayer that through these principles extracted from the imperative moods of Scripture, that we might become more ordered in our thinking. That as leaders, we would be more realistic in our dealings with those under us. And for those of us who submit to a higher authority, that we would become more realistic in our obeying their mandates. May we all gain from this experience as we seek to know precisely how you would have us execute the commands of Scripture and to orient ourselves to the laws of human government. And we lift our prayers in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai arene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu, tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's exactly 11:15. We'll take a 5-minute break and have our annual business meeting.